Welcome to the Black Girls Wine Podcast, your source of joy and Black excellence, where we share the stories of wine lovers unapologetically operating in their greatness. I'm your host, Shayla Vernado. Cheers to excellence. Let's do this. Coryell is a two-time author, award-winning entrepreneur, and former educator who managed to turn her $32,000 teaching salary into a six-figure brand. Coryell is on a mission to help women uncover their purpose, prioritize their life, and profit from their passions. Her motto is, "You already have everything you need to get everything you want. You just have to work for it." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Coryell herself, Work, Pray, Slay, the former single wife, is dropping gems in this episode and sharing a little bit of her Black girl magic. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Cheers and toast to this Black excellence. I'll drink to that.
Super excited to be chatting with Miss Coryell.
Hey, girl. Hey, excited to be here.
Hey, girl. I'm so excited to have you here, too. Okay, my audience is going to be dying to know, what do you do? Why do you do it?
Okay, so I am a two-time author, so I've written a few books. Mm-hmm. I'm a serial entrepreneur, literally, you name it. If it is legal, I have done it. And I am all about empowering women to discover their purpose, live life passionately, and get paid what they are worth. So I do a ton of empowerment work. I have a weekly podcast show. I host an annual Women's Weekend, and I host quarterly girls getaways through my travel tribe. So I am all things women empowerment.
I love that. Okay, so listen, before we go any further, I listened to your recent podcast and I loved the part about manifesting. It was so good.
Thank you.
It was really good. So talk to our audience a little bit about like what that has looked like for you, just kind of manifesting in your own excellence because you're phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. About that. So manifesting for me, like the beginning started in like 2008 when I first watched The Secret and first kind of heard about the law of attraction and using mm-hmm. vision boards and just being intentional with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I did the basic, you know, everybody does a vision board after they watch The Secret. Right. And nothing happened. Like there was no magic. And, you know, so I kind of put it away, didn't think about it. And right. So fast forward to 2009, I came across someone. So I feel like, you know, you always lessons are repeated. Like you're always going to learn something or hear about something until you finally get it. And so mm-hmm. the law of attraction came back around in 2009 when I was in my master's program. One of the women had gotten engaged and she came and, you know, was so excited and talking about literally how she manifested this engagement, manifested this man, and told me exactly what I needed to do. Mm. And so I was all excited for her, you know, wanted to manifest me a man. And so I went home and I did exactly what she told me to. Right. And lo and behold, that was in October, literally October 2009. I wrote the letter, which is what she told me to do. And mm-hmm. by March 6, 2010, the mm-hmm. man that I wrote in, you know, wrote about and wrote for in this letter literally walked right into my life. And so that was like my first experience where I was like, oh my God, this is really real. Like I asked for it. I got it. Now it definitely was everything that I asked for, but absolutely not anything that I needed. So uh-huh. that's a whole nother story, but that was kind of the first experience with me, like writing it down and then bringing it to life. Since then I manifested a full page spread in Essence magazine. Woo-hoo! I did not know a single person at Essence. Like I didn't have any connections. Mm-hmm. I just knew what I wanted. And, you know, the law of attraction worked the way that it always works. And so, you know, that was another time that I wrote it down and kind of, you know, brought it, manifested it into reality. And then, of course, my man, you know, yes. my current man, the man that is what I needed and also what I want, that I've, you know, evolved into the woman that knows how to manifest responsibly versus the 24-year-old foolish things that I was looking for. So I definitely have had firsthand experience with like the magic of manifestation, because it really does feel magical when you get exactly what you set out to attract.
It really does. So in the when it happens, right? So you manifest these things, you're like, you know what? This is what I want. I'm going to set my intentions. They're going to be clear, and I'm going to get exactly what I have in mind. And it comes, and it's not all as cracked up to be. What do you suggest our listeners who are going to be like, "Ooh, I'm a manifest a man or manifest this." What do you suggest? Like, where do they go from there? How do you pivot from manifesting what you actually didn't need in the first place?
Well, before you even do that, I think you have to be realistic. So learn from my mistakes, right? I just told you what happened when you asked for the wrong things. You're going to get it and it ain't going to be right. So be careful what you wish for. Like, that experience really taught me that the law of attraction is working. Like, it is working around the clock. Right. And so as soon as you say you want something, it's like the seeds are planted. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to be careful what you speak, you know, what you think. And so really asking yourself, what is it that I truly want outside of what everybody wants for me? Because I think a lot of times as women, especially, we base our life goals and our life decisions on the opinions of other people. And so really getting clear about what you want and knowing why you want it and what it's actually going to look like when you get it. I think that's really important, because you could want to manifest a successful business, but that successful business is going to take your time. Like, it's going to take resources. It's going to be costly to manage. You're going to have to invest. And so you have to know all of the things, you know, that come along with whatever it is that you say you want, and then know that you want those things too. So definitely my biggest piece of advice is just to be careful what you ask for and get real about what it's going to take to manage whatever you manifest.
Yes, I love it. So when listening to you, and you said something really interesting that I definitely want to touch on, about how as women, we do usually, most of us have to get to that point where we get over what other people are telling us, like what we should be doing, what we should be desiring, what we should be doing with our business or in our single life or in our married life. How did you get to the point where you kind of were able to get past that to really hone in on and get clear on what it is that Coryell wants for her life?
I had to make the mistake of doing that, of listening to what everybody wanted and realize these people don't even know what they want. So when when that man that I manifested, the first one back in 2010, ended up getting engaged, like literally manifested everything that I said, got engaged, all of that. And the same people who were so excited for me to get engaged were just as supportive when I got unengaged. They were just as supportive when I, you know, left my, well, no, they weren't supportive when I left my teaching career, but they were supportive when I said I was going to go teach overseas. Like, they all, at all phases of my life, I realized that these people were pretty much just co-signing what I said I wanted to do. Right. And they weren't necessarily even in a position to have an opinion. So here I was listening to all of these people who didn't know what I really should do. And I learned the hard way that I had to figure that out for myself. And so that's what it really came down to, is me getting real about what I wanted outside of what other people wanted for me. And so learning that the hard way, it was easy to say, okay, you know what, forget it. I'm going to get, you know, serious and figure out what I want. And then I'm going to go after that, regardless of what anybody else wants for me.
Got you. That's good. So you have just, you in your journey of serial entrepreneurship, I know you used to be a teacher. What gave you the courage to take that leap, to go from teacher to serial entrepreneur, like, planning these events, running the podcast, you know, working with entrepreneurs? How did you, what gave you that courage to take that leap? How did you know that it was right for you?
So I didn't have courage to take a leap. What I did have courage to do was walk away from my teaching career. And I literally, like, it was a crazy story. I was trying to run away from the shame and the embarrassment of calling off that engagement. I wanted to go overseas to teach, you know, so I could literally run away, and decided at the last minute that I needed to stay because I was going for the wrong reasons. And so I knew once I got out of that engagement, it was an abusive relationship. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And that at the end of that, it was really empowering because it taught me that whatever I decided to do, I could do it. If I could get away from this, like there are women who don't survive these things. So if I could get away from this, I can do anything. So after that, it was like, nobody could tell me anything. Once I made my mind up, you know, and I was willing to work for it, that was it. And so I didn't necessarily have, you know, a day where I was like, I'm quitting teaching. I'm just going to take this leap of faith. And, you know, my wings will develop on the way down or whatever those little memes. I didn't have that. I literally just came to a realization, had to get real with myself about why I was going to teach overseas and decided not to go. And that, giving up that contract and having already given up my contract here in Atlanta, I was kind of not stuck, but that allowed me the time to figure out what I wanted to do next.
Gotcha. Do you feel like you found your purpose in life, like your calling?
I don't feel like that is like a destination. I feel like my purpose is always changing. I think that, you know, there's like seasons sometimes to our purpose. So, you know, while I was a teacher, my purpose was to educate and empower, you know, these young minds. Now I'm still educating, but, you know, just a different audience. So I think that my purpose in educating will kind of always be there. But I think that the way that I'm able to do it is like ever changing. So I don't think that the way that I'm doing it right now is the way that I'll be doing it forever. But I do think that education will always be a part of what I do.
I love it. So what is something that brings you joy?
Traveling.
Yes. You did say that in your last podcast. Well, where was your last, what was the last destination you went to?
I literally just got back from Cabo like 2 days ago. We had our first busy at the beach of the year.
I saw that and I'm dying to go. Tell the wine friends what is busy at the beach.
So 5 years ago, I decided to take my love for travel and turn it into a stream of income. I became a certified travel agent and I started curating these travel experiences. And so ever since then, I've been taking boss babes from around the country to my favorite beaches around the world. And it's literally 4 days, 3 nights of fun in the sun, along with networking, connecting, excursions, a boat party, all types of fun. So that is busy at the beach. We just finished Cabo for MLK work weekend. We're doing a Montego Bay sleigh in April, and then our Cancun beach bash is this August. So super excited. BusyAtTheBeach.com is where you can get more information.
Wonderful. Okay, so when was the last time you did something that you felt like, oh, this made my life worth living? And it could be something simple, like having an ice cream cone. But what was the last thing you did that made life worth living?
I got to say busy at the beach this last trip, just because it's fresh on my mind. And literally one of the women who came pulled me aside to tell me that, number one, this was her first time leaving the country, like literally got a passport, bought herself a passport as her Christmas gift to herself to be able to come to Cabo. So that was the first thing that was like, that's wow. Awesome. And then the second thing was she was so proud of herself for coming and also talked about how she's going to use this, or how she's been able to use this experience to show her kids what's possible. And so now she has her 13-year-old son, like researching, you know, his first trip, where he wants to go, and just being able to have this platform to empower other women is just amazing. And it confirms that I am following my calling. And that is honestly not even what I thought I was doing, you know, when I started Busy at the Beach. But last year, one of the women traveled from New York, and it was literally her first time getting on a plane. So to hear these stories, it's like women who otherwise, who knows when they would have, you know, left the city or left the country or, you know, took time for themselves. So for me to be able to facilitate that experience, I think that makes life worth living.
Yes, definitely. So I just hearing these stories, like, that's so amazing. And I know, like, I feel like I've been following you for almost a decade, but like I've been following you for a while. And so I would just, from what you've experienced in your journey of entrepreneurship, at what point in the journey did you realize you were operating from your excellence, and what did that mean to you?
I don't know if I ever had like that moment. I think that I know that I'm operating in my purpose, but aside from that, I feel like I'm just following directions. Like I literally feel like God tells me what to do and I just do that. So I don't look at it as I'm operating in my excellence. Like I'm coming up with this stuff. I'll be asleep and then I wake up and I have an idea. Like I can't take the credit.
I love it.
I think that just, I do believe that I'm operating in my excellence, but I don't ever feel like I had that moment where I stopped and said, you know, wow, like look at the things you're doing. I always feel like thankful that I'm able to, I feel like I'm just the vessel. Like I'm the vessel for this vision and I'm thankful for that, but I don't really feel like I can take credit for it.
I love it. Well, so when you were growing up, what was your concept of like Black excellence? When you were growing up, who was that example for you? What did it look like? What did Black excellence look like to you?
So to be quite honest, I did not have an example of Black excellence. I mean, I could say the cliche thing like my mom, but she wasn't like a major, you know, businesswoman that I looked after or, you know. So, yes, my mother is a role model. I'm not, no shade to my mom and daddy, but I grew up in a white suburb of Chicago on the white side of town. Like, the suburb itself was already, you know, predominantly white. And then I grew up on the white side of town on top of that. So I literally grew up being, you know, one of the only Black kids in my class, the only Black girl in the Girl Scout troop. Like I was that girl. Gotcha. And so that is why it was so important. There was no other option other than HBCU. Like once I literally, you know, had my mind made up about it. Then I fooled around and saw Drumline the year before I was able to start applying for colleges. went to do like a college visit literally like the next week after I saw Drumline at TSU. And the rest was history. Like there was no talking me out of it. So because I did not have that example, I was searching for one. And I definitely got several by attending HBCU.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what would you tell your 18-year-old self that you know now?
Forget about these guys. Like, don't waste your time. Make your little money.
Right.
And be responsible for your own happiness. But do not pin your happiness on some other living, breathing, evolving person. Wasted way too much time worrying about the wrong things.
I can second that, honey. That was good. Okay. What's your favorite way to wind down after a long week?
Wine.
What do you...
Really champagne. I'm really champagne. Lying. But I said wine because it sounded good because you said wine. But it's really like a glass of champagne.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite variety?
I am so basic. If it's bubbly, I want it. Like I'm not bougie when it comes to my champagne. It could be Prosecco. It could be whatever. I just like some sparkling wine.
Gotcha. Okay. So then I probably can guess your answer to the next question. If you were a wine, which one would you be and why?
No, you can't guess this answer because I would be plum wine. I would be plum wine because so many people have never heard of it. So it's like inconspicuous. It's bomb when you do have it. Everybody loves it. So it's like that rare, hard to find, but super sweet and, you know, delicious. Everybody wants it. Once they get it, everybody wants it. So that would be me.
I love it. You got me. You got me. I really thought you were going to say, oh, champagne.
No, awesome. Gotta switch it up. Gotta switch it up.
Yes. So, okay, tell us something good you discovered that put a smile on your face recently.
Something good I discovered. Let me think. One thing, so this is not something that happened to me, but discovering the possibility of making $1 million in 90 minutes, looking like me, sounding like myself, living my truth. Super did that on Black Friday. And that was something that put a smile on my face because it just showed me what is possible on this internet. Like if you have Wi-Fi, there's no excuse. And there are literally people creating wealth with Wi-Fi. So that is something, random example, but that's something that put a smile on my face that just showed me what was possible.
No, that was a great example. I feel like when I saw her, like when I saw that going around from Black Friday, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that is amazing. Okay, so tell everyone where they can find you, everywhere like that, all on the social.
All right. I am at Coriel.com, Coriel on all social networks. And if you are interested in attending Busy at the Beach, you can follow us at Busy at the Beach, as well as Work Pray Slay Weekend, which is returning to ATL October 31st through November 3rd. And you can follow us at Work with an E, Pray Slay on Instagram.
Yay. And oh, and the podcast, because it's too good not to share.
Yes. So the podcast is Confessions of a Workaholic. You can search us anywhere the podcasts are played. And of course, it's Workaholic with an E. And I release brand new episodes each and every Wednesday.
Awesome. Coriel, thanks for sitting and chatting with me. This was awesome. You were great.
Thank you for having me.
Word of the week. Wine friends, your word for this week is aperitif. Aperitif is an alcoholic drink taken before a meal used to stimulate the palate. So think of aperitif as your liquid appetizer before your meal to get your palate going. A few examples of aperitifs are a Dubonnet or Prosecco, Champagne, a Cava. Any sparkling wines are good examples of a few aperitifs that you can order before the meal gets started. So the next time you get ready to order your meal, well, before you even start, when you sit down at the table, you can say, I'll have your best Prosecco for an aperitif, please. They're going to think you're a pro with that one. Did you love this episode of the Black Girls Wine Podcast? If so, please make sure you rate us on iTunes. Go ahead and give us 5 stars, review, and subscribe so you don't miss another episode of this Black Excellence.